So during the Navi Yeshayah, we're up to what they call the 42nd chapter, the 20th Pasuk. The Navi had described that his Hashem's servant is blind and Hashem's servant is deaf. Hashem says, I tried to teach you, you don't want to learn. And so the Navi explains, why do I say my people are blind and deaf? Ra'ot rabot v'lo tishmor. You've seen so much, yet you're not willing to take heed. You're not willing to learn, to take a lesson from what you've seen. Pakoach is oznayim v'lo yishma. Your ears are open, but you choose not to listen to the mitzvot of the Torah. And so therefore Hashem says, I describe you, my people, as being blind and deaf, because you're choosing not to see and not to listen. Adonai chafetz leman tzidko. The desire of Hashem is so that each person be a tzaddik. Hashem chafetz leman tzidko. Hashem wants us to be righteous people. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. And that's why Hashem gives us this great Torah, Yagdil Torah. So that's an interesting word, the word Yagdil. One understanding is that Hashem wants us to be Magdil Torah v'yadir, to make us know great vast amounts of Torah and grow as we learn Torah. So Hashem says, you're blind and deaf, but Hashem chafetz, what Hashem wants is leman tzidko, that you shouldn't be blind and deaf, that you should be righteous people. And what Hashem wants is yagdil Torah, that a person should make great, learn vast amounts of Torah, v'yadir, and awesome, and be strong in their Torah. So that's one interpretation. Hashem says, I want you to grow in the Torah. Yagdil Torah v'yadir. The Malbim has a complex philosophical explanation of what's going on in these verses, but I think we won't go into that. The Navi says, I want you to grow. I want you to understand Torah. And you're refusing. And that's what the Navi is about to describe, how the nation refuses to grow and be great.
Is it like a theme that kind of expands a lot on?
That what?
It's a theme that he just, a lot of the prophets do that. That the Jews are rebelling and not doing what they should.
Yeah. So the Medrash says, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hashem showed Avram Avinu four things. He showed him Geinom, perdition. He showed him Malchuyot, the four kingdoms that would enslave or persecute the Jewish people. He showed him the Torah, the Jewish people receiving the Torah, and he showed him the Beit HaMikdash. And Hashem said, so long as your children are busy with two, they will be saved from two. If they're busy with Avodah of the Beit HaMikdash, the service of Hashem and the learning of Torah, they will be saved from the other two, from Geinom, from perdition, and from the afflictions of the nations. So, what happens if they don't, if they leave the two? So then they'll have to deal with the other two. Then Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa says that Avraham Avinu looked through the nations and said, okay, I want my kids, if they're going to be in servitude, it should be in this nation and that nation. And so the Navi will later on say, you see, your own patriarch agreed to this. There was this agreement, if they're going to have to undergo the afflictions of the nations, so this is where it should happen, or these are the nations it should happen by. It seems that the Medrash is teaching us that even those afflictions were thought out as to how they would help us develop in the right direction. So that Avraham Avinu chose where we should be, so that we would benefit the way we should from it. An alternate, but not necessarily different interpretation. What bothers you?
Can you say that last sentence again?
It seems that the nations were chosen because in those nations we would develop the way we should. But in
China.
Right. Why were we in exile in Babylon and not China? Right. Another potential interpretation is, but it doesn't seem like that's the main point, because it seems like Avram's focus was the needs of his descendants. Another potential interpretation, and again, the two can work together, it's not mutually exclusive, we are taught that nations have sparks, nations have strengths that have to be brought out from their potential to reality, and that's through Am Yisrael emigrating to those nations. And then as they're there, so they bring out the forces that could be there. Then those forces come into Am Yisrael and develop the Jewish people way beyond what the Jewish people could have done alone. Rabbi Akiva had to come from converts. We could not self-propagate someone as great as that. David HaMelech had to come from converts. There are strengths that have to come from without. As great as Am Yisrael is, there are strengths that are not here. Rabbi Meir, the great teacher of the oral law, right, Rabbi Meir, all of our Mishnah is based on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was a descendant of Sanherith, the general who came to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. He had to come from Gerim. So we learn that there are strengths, and again, that could also be part of the idea here of the choosing of where we would go, and that works a little bit with the idea that Avraham Avinu is Av Amon Goyim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, when you call up a convert to the Torah, you say, Ben Avraham, really Avraham Avinu, because they're all considered connected to Avraham. The Medrash says, Sarah Imenu nursed many, many babies. Everyone wanted to see that this wasn't a lie. This old lady suddenly has a child. It says that those souls that she nursed would come back to the Jewish people in the form of converts. So, whatever that means. That's why it's not so far-fetched, this idea that Avraham Avinu chooses the nations where we'd be exiled, not only because that's where we would grow, but perhaps also because that's where we would...
He chose it?
It says, Birer. Birer sounds like he chose.
It seems like God told him this is what...
Right? So that's what this Medrash is teaching us, right? It's not what we would have thought. Yes?
Another concept that in order to reach our... Less than the concept of Am Yisrael having to reach their full potential in the land and the nation in which they were exiled, but also that with those nations, through their encounter with us in their lands or at their time, something within them is revealed, is everything. Do each of these concepts have anything to do with the pattern that as Jews succeed in the country, the nation begins to hate them to the point where they kick them out and and persecute them, which ultimately the pattern is shown has led to their downfall?
I don't know. I don't know of a connection.
Steinsel writes about that. When the Jews become more English than English, more the natives resent them.
Right, but he's saying, is it connected to the idea of the converts? And that, I don't know of a connection. Yes?
I know this is, on the surface, a very clear concept, that we do the mitzvot, and then we avoid the Gehenna and the Galuyot, but it seems like, we talked about in a couple of Midrashim that it was very obvious that the Jews would go down to Egypt, and Rashi talks about a lot of the time that it was very obvious that they realized that the Beit HaMikdash and Shiloh would be destroyed, or the Mishkan and Shiloh would be destroyed, and the David HaMikdash would be destroyed, and it seems like this is a known thing. They would be in a exile for 70 years, but then there's the other perspective where that was only supposed to come as a punishment, not that was expected.
So we see in our parsha that until the Jewish people transgressed, until there was enmity between Yosef and his brothers, we were fulfilling the prophecy of the Brit Ben Abtarim, Yedo Atedaki Geri Ezaracha. We were fulfilling that prophetic vision, living in Israel peacefully. And so, even when there's a prophecy that a bad thing has to happen, we are taught that there are multiple ways in which it can play itself out. And it's up to us, through our betterment of our deeds, or through our prayer, or through our actions, to ensure that it plays itself out better, not worse. The fact that there's a prophecy doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. Yosef HaTzadik had a prophetic vision that there would be 7 years of famine, but there weren't. There were only two. Yosef HaTzadik had a prophetic vision that, or Pharaoh had a prophetic vision of there would be problems, there'd be no food left. The hungry cows would consume the satiated cows. They'd have no benefit from it. But that didn't happen. Yosef was able to turn the tide, and all the sustenance of the 7 years did support the 7 years of famine.
I was reading something that when it says the skinny cows weigh full of the parim, so it doesn't say they full of the sheep up parim. So really, there was only supposed to be 2 years of famine.
I don't think that's correct. It doesn't say how many were consuming, but I think it does say how many were consumed. It says all 7 cows were consumed. It doesn't say who was doing the consuming. Okay.